Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, Jess, I'm so good. I just dropped three dimes on, some sports betting.
Would you like to be more specific, or do you just want to keep it to that?
To be honest with you, Survivor's starting very soon. And I think that's pretty probable that people can be dropping some dimes on Survivor drafts.
But is it okay? Wait, a dime is $1,000, right? That's what we learned.
$14.50.
$14.50.
Yeah, that would drop. That was Gambling Dan, our bookie.
Yes, we had some pretty good Gambling Dan. Well, funnily enough, we do have an episode entitled Angela's Men. And so these are the Shit 90 Shows men of this episode. We had to bring in two men to discuss these episodes because obviously we're not qualified to talk about such manly man things as dads and lots and lots of football. And
just so it's not my fault I don't have a dad anymore.
And so we brought in the lonely boys, Maddie and Brendan. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
That was it. I was gonna.
I was gonna do that while you were talking. So
I feel like I'm always stepping over you. So I was gonna let you actually get the first word in this time, but that's fine. Yes, we're here.
Yes, we're here. Oh, how you doing? Oh.
It's the Lonely Angela's Men. Here, ready to talk about all the manly things like ROTC and football and dropping dimes.
Yeah, I just got done dropping some dimes on some sports betting.
Oh, how many?
Whatever Sarah was doing.
Yeah.
So three dimes. Sports.
Brendan's just like copied my bet.
Just doubled the bet. Yeah.
Well, I was doing what Eric was doing to Jack.
Yeah. Just piggybacking on and then adding a lot more.
Adding a lot more.
And then bought a really nice bike.
Pre-buying. When you don't know where the money's coming from, you should not be buying the nice bike.
But it gave him a nice Italian accent.
Which I also have to add, I did that Italian accent all dinner long tonight because I made ratatouille. And fiance of the pod was pissed that I was doing the exact same Eric accent for like half an hour.
Is she also the fiance of this pod or just our podcast?
Well, we're representing the Lonely Boys today, so I have keep it canon. So.
Step fiance today.
Keep it canon.
Yes, we are Angela's Men today.
Exactly. And of course, we're here to cover two episodes. We got Angela's Men and No Such Thing as a Sure Thing, aka the episodes where everyone gets back together.
Yeah.
Really.
A lot of making out in that one.
Were these two picks because the same exact thing happened in both episodes for two different couples?
It's kind of ridiculous that they are like the same. I mean, not the same storyline, obviously,
but close. The
same ending of both of them. And I have to say, you couldn't pay me enough to be Ryder Strong or Trina. Like, either of them in the second episode and having to consistently touch mouths with another human being for hours upon hours.
They said, how are we getting our paycheck this week? And they're like, you're just going to make out with each other. That's it all week. And that's it. And that's, we're going to pay you to do that. And then you're going to clock out.
Yeah. Sarah, we talk about makeouts a lot on the show in Dawson's Creek. Yeah. How, like, these these were terrible kisses. Am I right?
Really?
They were closed mouth.
Yeah. Like, I think they're comically bad. Like, you know, I think also the chapstick stuff, I think maybe was ad-libbed because they actually needed chapstick after just rubbing each other.
Yeah. I remember when I was 18 and I, you know, you just make out all the time and your lips are fucked. I remember those days.
We had different 18-year-old
experiences. I have like this new working theory that Ryder Strong is full senioritis in seventh season because he's just got the sillies. He's got the sillies. Yeah. Like our old Sean, who is like plagued by despair, is no longer. He's like having fun these seasons. So he's like senioritis mode. So if he just has to show up and not have any lines and just makes out, I don't think Ryder Strong is complaining.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's a big reason why I love the later seasons of the show, because it seems like everyone is just down to have a good time and be silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Even like the dead dad lines and the mother leaving lines were like kind of comedic.
Yeah. A little bit. So, Matt, you like pre-requested these episodes like a year ago. No, that's right. Like maybe not a year ago, but a while, like 2 seasons ago. Why these episodes?
So it was particularly the first one we're going to talk about, Angela's Men. I as soon as I didn't get my favorite episode of the series, and then there was Sean, I said, I can't let that happen again. I need to get the episode, whichever episode it is, where Eric is in disguise stalking Topanga.
You know what's great is that when I was watching these, I always think about the guests that requested them. And I'm watching this episode and I was like, these motherfuckers, the only reason they want these episodes is because Eric is a fucking 100%. Complete lunatic.
100%. I remember me and my roommate in sophomore year of college used to watch like this episode for whatever reason. This episode was just on ABC Family all the time, and we would literally, and I think at a certain point I started bringing in my DVDs of this show just so we could watch this episode and all of the Eric scenes. They are so absurd and they get more and more absurd, and we would just lose it. It's one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
Like, how much do you think they actually spent on Eric as a tree? Like, it's so ridiculous.
And none of it makes sense. Like, randomly there is just a painting in the classroom at one point, and then Eric is part of the painting.
Can we go around the room quick and say which of our favorite Eric disguises were? My personal
that's a
favorite
fabulous
was
idea.
The tea party looking outfit with the big hat. I love the big hat.
It is a good one. My favorite is definitely the painting, just because like when he's like, you have a big head. For some reason, that
you have a very large head.
That cracked me up in like such a stupid way.
And then she pinches his ass.
Funny. Yes.
Yeah, Eric goes method for these. Like, he does not break character at all. He's just straight faced talking to paintings, telling them they have large heads. He's chatting up the women when he's having tea with them. He's like, but yeah, my favorite is gotta be the tag at the end where they couldn't even get through it because it was so ridiculous. Like, it's my famously, my dream job would be to be an actor on a successful sitcom, and it's for reasons like this where they all just look like they're having such a good time. I love blooper reels. This is like the only time an episode ends with just bloopers, just because bloopers. They could not get this scene down.
You don't even get the actual scene.
No, it's, and we see it like 5 separate takes where they just cannot keep it together. It's so funny.
I love that scene too, because I just think that it's really, really entertaining to watch the actors just break. And the reason why they didn't show the full scene was that they literally could not get through the entire scene. It was impossible for them. So they're like, the producers had to be like, all right, we're just going to do a bloopers reel then, because it's
which
just
works for me.
Too funny. And I love it. I love that. I love even now, like the first time that I watched this episode back in this rewatch, and they're on the couch, I still did not see Eric there. Not until they pan it over and Topanga's
me either,
like,
honestly.
Yeah, really? I saw the lumpy couch and immediately remembered what scene we were in, because it looks very uneven if you watch it.
Yeah.
But I just, again, like the amount of money they spent to make Eric look like a part of the couch. And then I will say, because I watched this episode quite a few times, like before we're recording today, and every time I would always look towards Trina, because she, like, if you look, everyone else is dying. Ryder Strong is like absolutely dying, you know. But Trina, by the end of it, looks so pissed off. Like, can we please just like, get Jesus this Christ, fucking bitch. Take?
She just wants to go to bed. She's like, I'm a 30-year-old woman. I need to go home and take care of my kids.
Exactly. I've been making out with Sean for like 12 hours. Can I please go home?
Exactly. She has like two children and she's like, I'm over this. Like it's yeah. time for me to go. And she got like bonked in the head by the couch cushions. Like, this is dangerous at this point.
I love when yeah. Ryder Strong just suggests that they take it one line at a time because they're not going to be able to do it otherwise.
That's good. Good suggestion.
Yeah. So let's dive in because we're already talking about it anyway. Let's talk about Angela's Men, where we start the episode. Again, Sarah, I do love now that the girls are living together. I don't like necessarily love how we arrived at this happening, but I like that it is happening. Yeah. And it's just like they're getting stalked. Sean is stalking Angela. He claims to be the milkman. There are no milkmen anymore, and he just says cow.
Yeah,
it's very funny, very charming. But...
Exactly. Sean is really trying to get Angela back, especially in this episode, of course. And I love how Angela, it's past the point that she's even entertaining it. She's just like, I've told you a million times, I'm over you. And he just keeps trying and trying. I really love Trina and Angela in this episode. Probably our best Angela episode ever.
Wow.
It's really good. Yeah. I it feels something about Rachel. It feels like she's far too comfortable with stalking because she has two separate lines where she first says, it's adorable how he's stalking you, and then says that you have to admire his persistence, which I feel like we might be teaching some real the wrong lessons here.
I'm a little concerned for Rachel, to be honest. Like what her relationships have looked like, where she's like, this is acceptable behavior.
I love that we get Corey and Sean both being like pathetic Corey mode too at the same exact time, because we get so many different seasons of Corey doing this, but now having them both best friends do it together, I really love that.
Yeah, and so she finally answers the door and he's like, can I just tell you one thing? And she's like, say whatever you want as long as it doesn't contain the words I love or you. And he goes, I love her, you too.
I remember that line very well.
He's so good. He's like, I live here now. And so she closes the door in his face and then they hear knocking again and she's just like, I told you I don't want to see you. And she opens the door and it's her dad just standing there. He's like, why is this boy lying in your doorway? So what do we think of Angela's dad, Sarah? This is the first, obviously, we're seeing him. This is the first we're hearing of him. I don't even know that we have heard prior to this episode that she's a military brat.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. It's actually not the first time we've seen this actor in Boy Meets World. We saw him as a professor in the episode where Sean shows up to college. He was the philosophy professor.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, so.
I love how they just decide that they're going to do whatever the fuck they want and they don't care about consistency. Yeah,
senioritis. This is what it is.
See, that's what I was confused by the scene, because when he walked through the door, I was like, why is a professor here? Makes no sense.
What continuity? Who cares?
Yeah, continuity's for suckers. So Angela's dad's great. I'm a little afraid of him. He's kind of
he's very tall.
Very insanely tall.
He towers over Ryder.
He makes Sean look like a little boy.
Yeah, he really does. And it's you see this guy and you see that he's like very, you know, militaristic, obviously, making people call him sir. And you would assume that like he's going to hate Sean. He is going to like forbid them from ever seeing each other. Like that's typically what happens in sitcoms. Like the dad does not like the boyfriend, and the more like hardcore he is, the less of a good time the boyfriend's going to have. But Sean wins him over immediately, like with no effort somehow. Like it is crazy how fast they get along. And by the end, he's like ordering Angela to get back together with him.
That's true. Yeah. To Sean's charm. Charmed me. Sean charmed all the girls in the 90s. It's just Sean. Like people love him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I do think, again, I think her father does a lot of great things in this episode, but there are also many things where I'm like, bro, like back the fuck up. Like what are you doing? Like you're too involved in this. But we find out
he's so invested in their relationship. He hasn't talked to his daughter in years. And then he just shows up
and he's like, he comes here
unannounced and is like, by the way, I'm like teaching an ROTC recruit course at this college now.
For a day.
You didn't know about this, but I'm gonna
be here to see her. He's here specifically for the ROTC program.
But also, I can't leave unless you get back together with your boyfriend, whom I adore.
And so I do love the running gag of, like, you call me sir. And so, like, they both run off. And so he's like, oh, so what's the story with the boy, Matt? And she's just like, story's over. And he's like, well, he doesn't seem to know that. She's like, that's his problem. By the way, here are my best friends, Topanga and Rachel. We're swiftly switching the subject here. Okay, I know the ROTC thing is, like, tricky, right? But, like, it's, like, part of me is, like, I hold it slightly against Angela's dad that he's, as soon as he meets Topanga and Rachel, he's just like, hey, ROTC program also has spots for women.
Like, believe it or not, you guys can do this, too.
Does anybody actually know what ROTC stands for? Because
Rachel ought to chill.
Yeah. What kind of question is that?
Oh, man. I'm a terrible podcaster. I don't even look it up properly. I could not be bothered to actually figure out what it actually meant. But yeah, Rachel has to chill is good enough for me, I suppose.
Yeah, I have no idea what it actually stands for.
I have absolutely no idea. Nothing. No. But yeah, Rachel ought to chill because she keeps asking about Angela's mom. And it's
faux pas.
Yeah, like girl, she's putting her read
repeatedly.
The room.
She cannot read the
like,
room. She does
every time
mention
she
how,
goes for it.
And she mentions like how Angela never talks about her. So like maybe that should be a clue to not bring her up.
Yes. And so her dad is finally just like, no, it's fine. Like we're not together anymore. And she's just like, I don't want to talk about it. So Angela says like the reason she doesn't want to talk about it is because of Topanga, which is a lie, but it seems like she's just using Topanga as like a very easy out to be like, Topanga's parents are going through it. Like, we don't need to talk about it. But yeah, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to help you get over Sean. Well, I'm going to help you get over Corey. And I do love Sarah, these are the kind of moments where I'm like, okay, I kind of believe Angela and Topanga are friends, is when they do this like back and forth where they're like stepping a little bit higher than each other. It felt very like best friendy because I don't often get those vibes from them on the show. And this felt like specifically that vibe.
I don't either. And I think it kind of speaks to how the actors are feeling towards each other in the moment. We've heard oodles of stories back in the day. But yeah, I think that bringing in Rachel and having the three women live together is really helping the story that they're actually friends. Because Matt. So like aside from that, before that, like it was really hard to believe that they were best friends.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And I thought that in this episode specifically, Topanga and Angela had kind of a cute friendship in this one.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys remind me quickly how they did get this apartment? Women.
So they basically they come back to college after like Topanga and Corey are like they haven't seen each other in a few months, as unbelievable as that is.
That doesn't make any sense.
And so then Topanga and Angela Topanga ends things with Corey and Angela refuses to get back together with Sean. And they don't want to be in the dorm right across the hall. And Jack and Rachel break up. So, and Eric isn't even living there anymore. So at that point, Rachel is just like, oh, I assume Jack is moving out. I'm going to invite the girls to live with me. Even though it was a misunderstanding and Jack was going to have Eric move back in with them.
Okay.
Where is Eric living? The student lounge?
He's in the couch.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. So that's the biggest mystery is that Jack and Eric are kind of homeless right now.
Yeah.
Well, when we have dinner with the family,
we see Jack
is over
dinner
for dinner.
Them,
so maybe they live at home with the Matthews.
We have no idea. They were living in Feeney's car for a hot second and eating like spaghetti in the back seat. They had talked about living in the dorm, which is kind of weird and creepy.
Oh, they moved into Angela and Topanga's dorm.
Okay, because I couldn't remember if they solidified that or if they were just like wrestling that guy.
Yeah, remember
with
the Backstreet Boys poster.
That was a massive Backstreet Boys poster.
Also, Feeney in this episode with Eric cracks me up because I feel like I don't remember what happens when, but I remember Feeney being a huge mentor for Eric for the longest time and like him loving Eric so much. In this episode, he's like, I don't know what to do with this fucking kid. Jesus Christ.
It feels like as of here? Season 7, he's officially lost he's so it. Done. Like Feeney is like so done. Like we even got Feeney doing like the Feeney call to Eric in the like premiere. Okay. And we were like, Feeney has fucking lost his mind. Like he has actually lost it at this point. So he's definitely he has senioritis too, Feeney.
Right.
Can you imagine William Daniels is probably like, I'm just tired.
I'm tired.
I just want to have some peace and quiet, please.
Yeah. So on to the reason that Matt wanted this episode, where we have Eric and Jack sitting, staring at Topanga and Rachel. And he's just like, I can't let it go. She beat me up. And we get this like little thought bubble.
A little thought bubble pops up.
Of the prior episode where we saw Sarah and I raked this scene over the fucking coals, where there's like the girls are beating up Jack and Eric. And Eric is just like so upset by this that he has to have his revenge.
Yeah, what is he going to do though? Is he going to beat her up?
It's like he doesn't know what he's going to do when he actually catches her, but he just needs to catch her. Like, and Eric Matthews, he's never been a hugely vengeful person, but it is all of a sudden his entire personality in this one episode. Right.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Then this is when Angela's father gets introduced, and we find out that Feeny served in the Navy. Apparently he served in the Navy, and this is news to us, Sarah. Like, I don't ever remember hearing this from Feeny. Yeah, this is. I mean, right, Sarah? Can you recall him ever mentioning this before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
What life Feeny has led.
England doesn't have a navy, you liar.
Which they do. They have the Royal
of
Navy.
Of course, because it's fucking England.
He was so proud of himself, though, when he said that.
Yeah. We have to point out again that Eric and Topanga are inexplicably attending the same college. Like, I can't. I will never be able to do it. Topanga, who got accepted to Yale, is attending the same college as this moron, this, like, literal idiot who cannot do anything.
Yeah,
and this rate, and Jerry Mungo too is the same school as Topanga,
and Jerry Mungo. And I love that Feeny just hangs out in the lounge with everyone. Like, we don't see any other teachers in there. Like, Feeny, for as much as he hates these kids, he is hanging out in the lounge with all of them.
Well, they even made a joke of it on like the premiere where they're like, "Oh, you have Feeny for every class again?" Yeah. Yep, me too. it's so stupid. But they're like, the way that Angela's dad's gonna hook them is by asking, like, "Oh, is anybody else like unhappy with the way their life is going?" And of course, like, everybody raises their hand.
Very relatable.
Corey raises his hand and is so excited to put his hand up. He's like, "Yes, me,
it's me." So that's how he's gonna hook everyone in. But then we have the I don't know what I've been told, like, army chant situation.
Yeah, like Barry's boot camp.
Yes. And Sean is the only one keeping up with any of this.
Decked out in army gear already. He's got the army shirt on. I guess they all do, but they work quickly here with the ROTC, really getting people indoctrinated.
Yeah. So no one else is around. He's like, where the hell is everyone? And they all went to go get burgers.
Corey is leading the rest of the pack.
Corey coming in with the burger.
And the fish fillets, which, I mean, this does remind me of my time in winter track, Brendan. I thought of myself immediately.
So funny.
You have to carb up.
Me and Brendan ran winter track together, and all of the meets, since it was in the winter, they were indoors at this community college nearby. And you would have to do two events, but I would only do one, the shortest one, the 55 meters. And then I would immediately leave, go down the hallway. Also,
this race literally only exists in winter track. If you do spring track, the minimum is 100. And he does the one season with the shortest possible race.
How'd you get in?
Oh, there's no trial tournament. And then I would every meet leave immediately and go to the cafe down the hall and get like fries and quesadillas and everything.
Quesadillas was your big one.
And the teacher would be like, "Gagan, where's your second event?" I'm like, "This is my second event. I'm eating all the quesadillas."
I loved it.
It was like a bit that we did every single month when we had a meet.
And Eric even has this like little finger puppet that's like an army guy, and he's holding it behind Angela's dad, and he just grabs Eric's finger. So we see like all the guys snoozing. My favorite is Corey, whose head is on what are those things called, like the
bench press.
That's it. Yes, bench press. And his tongue is sticking out like a little like blep dog. Like, what's
so cute. Yeah.
Eric's in the trash can. Sean is the only one who's still working out. He's still doing push-ups. And he's like, "What are you trying to prove?" And one of your buddies is surrendering in the garbage can.
"Tell me about your parents."
Yeah. "Yeah, my father's dead, sir." "Impress your mother then." "My mother's gone too, sir." Just like,
"She left twice. Us.
Two times." It's like, he's like, "Damn, you have issues."
Wait, we can stop yelling. This is actually really fucked up. He doesn't let him talk about this outside of this classroom where there's 10 people. He forces him to stay in the middle of the gym and talk while everyone's, I guess he hopes everyone's sleeping. He's there in a food coma, maybe.
Yeah, I think that this is the moment where he actually started to have respect and turn his feelings around on Sean, because obviously his family, Angela, has a similar experience. So he's like, oh, wait, there's more to this kid than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, story yeah. obviously speaks to Angela's dad here.
Yeah, I think it was a cheap shot. That's why he won him over. Too easy.
It's a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like trauma binding, right?
Yeah.
To solidify a relationship.
Well, I also think it's one of those things where I think Angela's dad's won over the moment he says, I haven't trusted a relationship since then until I met Angela.
Mm-hmm. And like the opposite of me.
And I think back in the day, like in the 90s, it was seen as like really sweet to have like a guy who was super persistent, like Sean is being like, yeah, oh, she loves me. Sure. And now it's like creepy to have that. Like, don't speak for women.
Every TV show had something where like a guy was being crazy persistent with a girl and that was supposed to be very endearing.
Yeah. Maybe that was me like watching this through a 2022 lens, because as she was saying, like, I don't love you, he's like, I believe this girl. Like, I don't think she really likes him at all. I haven't watched a lot up to this point in a while, but I was like,
It's a very heartbreaking conversation that she has to do again in front of all of the people in the ROTC program.
Yes. Yes. It's
who are definitely all at this point pretending to be asleep. That's what I would be doing.
Oh yeah. I'm not acting
pretend
awake
like
at all.
Pretend like you sleep.
Yeah. Cause she comes in and she's just like, oh, hey, like we're late for dinner. And Sean's still doing pushups and she just kicks him. And she's just like, I don't care if you impress my dad. Like, I don't care if he likes you. It doesn't change how I feel. And again, Sean in that early 90s way is like, I know how you feel, Angela. And she's just like, her dad's like, he says you love him. And she's like, I don't love you. And I love her dad saying, I'm extremely uncomfortable.
Because I also was, so I totally related to that.
You feel like just surrounded by a group of people hearing your ex-girlfriend say, I don't love you.
Yeah. And Angela's dad is like, and I'm taking Sean's side, because obviously he's the one that knows this relationship.
He just turns to Sean and says, Sean, I love you.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, she says, I don't love you, I can't love you. It's like, I feel like this is the moment where we figure out something else is going on, because Sarah, like the way they made it seem in the premiere when she tells Sean she doesn't want to be with him, they make it seem like it's because of what Topanga says.
Exactly. Like, yeah,
it's not that at all.
No. So I'm glad that at least the show knows that there's an actual reason why Angela doesn't want to be with Sean. Like, we didn't know until this episode, but at least the show probably knows. It was on one of their stickies, essentially.
Yeah.
They'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. That seems like a good... Oh, yeah. Seriously, it took this long for an Angela backstory episode.
Yeah.
It's like, what stickies took precedence over this? Come on.
I need to know who came up with the sticky for the Eric storyline. That's what I
make it awards, all the awards.
Absolutely.
I like to imagine Will Friedle came up with it himself, just because it feels like he would.
He actually showed up to work just dressed as a woman already.
he had the tree idea. Outfit already on hand, ready to go.
Speaking all of which, costumes the past 10 years.
We're in the student lounge and we get the familiar like Eric be creeping music, and he's like poking his head up behind Topanga on the couch as everyone's just studying. And as she goes over to get a drink at like the cafe, he's dressed as a woman
all
like,
of a sudden
tea.
At the table. It's so stupid. I love it. How are the other girls like not freaking out? Like, are they in on this?
And for me, the thing that really cements it as being funny enough to work are the facial expressions that Eric has.
Yes.
This is some award-worthy, like, physical and facial comedy from Will Friedle in this episode.
When I was first watching this, I was like, this is so stupid. And then I think I fully went in. I was like, you know what? I know it's stupid. Now let's get beyond that and let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
For what it is. You know, we know it's nonsensical. We know it's ridiculous. So let's enjoy Will Friedle and Eric just being a nutcase.
Let down those walls.
Exactly. And I feel so free
And that's well, Sarah, and you know what it is? We talk about how Ryder Strong really thrives in like the dramatic stuff he gets to do. Will Friedle is having a fucking time of his life in these moments.
And that's all we can ask for, right? That's all we can ask for is that our actors are actually having fun.
Yeah. So Sean comes in dressed for the army and Angela's just like, excuse me, like, did you do this for me? And Corey's like, I'll support you no matter what. I'll join the army if fight right beside you, Corey and Sean. He said, but don't make me go. Like, the noises are like really scary though. Yeah.
Also very relatable from Corey.
Yeah.
Sean has gone from like a novice to completely uniformed and ready to go to the army in a very short period of time. Yes. 8 minutes to be in episode time to be exact. And like, I don't know, joining the army because he doesn't have Angela anymore does seem like an overreaction.
Yes, very much so.
It does. But is I would say, like, the ROTC people that target kids in college and high school,
totally.
Sean is such an easy mark because he doesn't really have family, and he would thrive in a structured environment like
his
that.
His reasoning makes total sense,
Sean's the dream target for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I do love Corey being like, please, I don't really want to go.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what, I'll do it for you. Let's get on that tank.
He's like, I don't like the loud noises.
The noises are just too much. Everything else I'm cool with.
Corey wouldn't make it. No, he wouldn't make it out.
No. Definitely in the flat fee. He would get out from that. But he's just like a wuss. He would not be able to. I don't think that he would be able to shoot a gun. I think it will like throw him back too far.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's
this is
what
we love. We just love old Jewish man Corey.
Absolutely.
When he's at his best.
And Eric tries to sneak attack Angela's dad from the pool table, and he just flips him, just straight up flips him over the shoulder.
Yeah, not a good sneak attack.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't mastered that yet. I truly love when Angela's dad screams at him and Eric just laughs and says, wow. I feel like that would be my reaction. Yeah. You are a disgrace to this university, to this country, and to humanity in general.
Wow.
And Rachel like seem to be the only people noticing how absurd Eric is, and like Jack's job is just to react to it all episode, and Rachel doesn't even like do anything. Like they're the only ones noticing how weird Eric is.
Yeah, they're just like, this feels right, you know. Yeah. This seems usual for him.
Jack's like, I told him to get help, like I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah. This like, is the one joke that got an eye roll out of me though, when he drops and gives him a $20 bill. I'm like, all right. unless the character himself like was doing a bit, but as a TV show, I'm like, that was not good.
It's a good time to ask, is Eric Matthews really this dumb, or is he just very funny and doing bits all the time?
I think the blooper kind of proves that.
In the second episode, I started to think like, maybe Eric Matthews is just kind of a comedic genius actually, and he's just going so far with this character.
Right. That's why that last scene like ends.
We might have to have that conversation when we get to Plays with Squirrels, because it could be possible.
Oh, that hasn't happened yet. Oh my god.
No, not yet. Yes, I think that our job in season 7 is to be Eric Matthews' PR firm and to rebrand him to be like an idiot savant.
Okay. Mm. That sounds like a fun job for us.
I really did have that thought in the second episode that maybe this is all just a bit to him.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's not going to be fun if you and I are just all scenes and like, oh, Eric's so dumb now. No, like, I think that we need to be staunch, like, Eric defenders from now on.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. So enlightened. Thank you to Eric's men.
Yeah. So Angela's dad sits down with Feeny and Corey, who are just over by the cafe, and he's like wanting to know what's going on with Sean and Angela. You know, why'd they break up? And Corey is just like, it's because of that Topanga. It's like, don't you worry, she's nuts about me.
I do love that Angela's dad talks to Feeny about this. Like, he doesn't know who Feeny is, but he just knows that Feeny is the one that to go to for all of your problems.
Yes,
traumatized by this group for years. Let me have a conversation with you. And this is when Eric comes over, dressed as a tree.
He's literally a tree.
I like the tree.
Just blending into the student lounge.
Yeah. All the other disguises did blend into their surroundings. This is by far the worst one.
It reminds me of Legends of the Hidden Temple, where those scary guys were like masked as trees or the wall, and then they like come out and like steal you. Do you remember this?
Yes. Yep.
so scary. Jessica, were you a fan of Legends of the Hidden Temple when you were a kid?
I wasn't. No, I didn't. I know what it is, but I never really watched it.
Okay. Well, it was a competition show before the CBS competition shows came out.
I was more of a Double Dare.
Oh yeah. You love the goof.
I love the goof, and I loved slime. Love slime. I wanted to see people get slimed.
Oh my gosh. Did I ever tell the story how one year I was watching Nickelodeon on New Year's Eve, and they were like, at midnight, there's going to be a big surprise. You have to stay up and wait, you know, kind of shit like that. They want you to stay up later. But as a kid, I was so determined to stay up at midnight because I was convinced something was going to come through the TV and that was going to be my big surprise. So I was like so determined. I remember staying up in my parents' bedroom, watching the TV, waiting. I think I thought that I was going to get slimed through the TV. Of course, what happened was some other celebrities or Nicktoons people got slimed. It was probably the first time in my life that I felt
disappointing.
Very let down by television.
You never watched Nickelodeon again.
And I never watched it again.
TV going, Sarah, you better stay up. We're going to slime you.
I was so convinced. I thought I was going to get slimed through the television. Stupid moron kid. Yeah. And this is because I didn't have like Santa Claus or like the Easter Bunny or like this is like the one thing that
I once stayed up till midnight to try to meet Santa Claus, and all I heard was my mom's alarm clock going off.
That's so sad.
Brendan had been telling me for years that Santa doesn't exist.
How old were you when you heard it?
Too old, probably. Good.
But I don't feel bad for you as much anymore.
Brendan, why were you?
It was last year.
Trying to release this.
I was just trying to like spread the good gospel of.
From how young?
I was probably 5 when I went down to my computer room and saw just a pile of presents. It was not on me at all. I wasn't snooping around. My parents just like were terrible hiders. Like I go in this room. Why'd you hide a mountain of presents?
Brendan finds out about Santa.
You guys aren't even trying.
So there's two types of people in the world. Like I probably learned that Santa wasn't real around that time, maybe a little bit younger because I'm Jewish. And then there's you who like, you know, it got revealed to you early. I was a good person and friend and told nobody. And I kept that secret.
It seems unfair to force you to do that.
That's
a huge secret for a bunch of little
kids. You're like,
geez,
Santa's not coming. And I have to keep this fucking secret. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Brendan's approach is just, let me tell everybody. Especially Matt.
I didn't say much in school that young, and then, but like, I did say
The contempt in his face when it would come up and he'd be like, you guys believe in that shit? Are you kidding
fucking morons. Smoking a cigarette.
Fucking losers. That's amazing. So Angela's dad talks to Feeny about Sean, and Feeny does say that Sean has overcome every obstacle life has thrown at him and grown up to be one of the finest young men I know. And of course, Corey being a Leo and absolutely infuriating just goes, what about me?
Corey's just there at the table with was Corey dining with Feeny? No, like, what was happening? It's just Corey, Feeny, and Angela's dad just talking about Sean Hunter for some reason.
The new trio.
Yeah.
Background just doing her homework. Like, why is she a background actress at this point?
and so he's like, I've never seen him as happy as when he's with Angela. And her dad's just like, I thought that Angela felt the same way. And Corey's like, well, she ran away. And he's like, Topanga, she's poison.
You can't like, get enough of Corey saying the word Topanga.
It's always so good. It always is good. It is. So he's just like, he's like, yeah, I don't hate her. She's my problem. I love her so much, but poison she is.
Yeah, Corey's clearly gone insane as well.
Yeah, by the 7th season, they've written him into this place where he's an absolute lunatic. Everyone has become a caricature of who they previously were. Right. And Corey, who previously just like casually liked attention, is now like a fucking succubus who's just like all of the attention all the time.
Yeah,
he's a monster.
I'm Topanga now.
And Topanga walks by and she goes up to the cafe again. And this time we see Eric with his face just like he's behind the deli counter.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like his face is smushed up against the glass and he has like a pig nose. Like
You gotta love a pig nose. It's been funny since we were little. It's still funny.
Yeah. I hope that he cleans the glass because I know that his little nose made smudges.
Yeah.
I don't think Eric has time to clean the glass. He's got to get his next disguise. Yeah, he's got to get the pitchfork ready.
Oh, that was a big one.
To anybody who hasn't rewatched this episode, you need to rewatch this moment where Feeny says, like, don't let your daughter go anywhere near him. And Angela's father's like, yeah, obviously. In the background, Topanga is looking at Eric with the most disdain on her face that I've ever seen.
I do think this I guess this doesn't qualify as a disguise, but like this moment is maybe the biggest jump scare of the episode.
Yeah.
Also, we had a great line reading from Feeny here when Angela's dad is like, I guess it's weird kind of jumping into all of this. And Feeny's just like, trust me, it's worse when you're here all the time. I got a chuckle out of me.
That's so good. We're in Feeny's class and Eric is, again, he's dressed as the farmer guy from that painting everyone knows.
Yeah, is this very famous painting always hanging up in this classroom, or is no one thinking anything of it, that this
it can't huge, be because it's
huge
massive.
Painting is hanging up and everyone just walks past it.
And yeah. Eric is laughing, but like to me, it very much reads as Will Friedle cannot help but chuckle.
He has hilariously found a way to insert himself into the painting as the farmer guy. Like, it's genius. Eric's literally a genius. I don't know how he pulled this off.
I gotta give him props too, because the way he put himself in here to me just looks like he cut out the face of the picture. But he was like fully in front of the whole picture.
It was a real optical illusion. I don't know how he pulled it off.
Yeah, this could be an art exhibit if he really wanted it to be. Like, make something of this. This is very impressive.
He attacks all the people looking at the picture.
Wait. Yeah. Okay. So for listeners, Matt has a picture of Mona Lisa in his background. Or the person.
It could, this actually could just be someone in disguise as the Mona Lisa.
What famous RHAP podcaster is actually behind you right now?
So it's actually creepy. Scally. Scally's just back there just waiting to pop up.
Whoa.
But I love some of my favorite lines from this episode are Eric talking to the painting where he just goes, you have a very large head. I don't know why I married you.
Completely straight faced. Like,
and Feeny, okay, I have to ask a question because Feeny comes in and he's just like, you know what, everybody's gonna open your books and read quietly, and he literally says, and I watched this a few times to make sure I wasn't mishearing what he says Uncle Feeny has had a very trying day already. Yeah.
I got that too. I was like, who's Uncle Feeny?
Try Professor Feeny.
Uncle has a niece and nephew.
I did not even realize
that. Yeah, he said Uncle.
Why?
So funny.
Uncle Feeny.
Maybe he does. Maybe he considers all the children his nieces and nephews.
Remember who his actual niece is?
Felicity.
Carrie Russell.
Check
From season one?
Yeah.
I think it was season one or two. It was really early.
Long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the moment when Topanga walks by and Eric jumps out.
He yells Yahtzee and just jumps. He lunges.
He's just like,
I thought he said Yahtzee, but I think the subtitles had it as Yahtzee.
Yahtzee.
And just lunges toward Topanga.
Grabs his chest like he's about to have a heart attack.
I thought that was going to be the end of him.
Uncle Feeny's so
going down.
That's how they write him off the show.
Uncle
Feeny.
Oh, no.
Uncle Feeny down.
Yeah, but instead he's just like, I quit. Like, yeah. I've had enough.
And you know what, Feeny, shut the fuck up. All these empty promises, you're staying right where you are.
Yeah. You can't get
you
enough
love
of
this
these
shit.
Kids.
He's never going to retire.
Nope. So the girls, meanwhile, have redecorated the apartment, which essentially means they've put some lounge pillows out, put some, you know, throw pillows. Put a tablecloth over the island, have like a weird bandana thingy hanging. Generally, the place just looks more colorful.
Yeah. They went to Home Goods.
It's fine. I don't think that they have a pink and a turquoise pillow on a bright ass red couch. This is too much for me.
I don't think I paid attention to this place at all.
There's a lot more like flowers and like it just looks more feminine, pretty much.
Yeah. They said they decorated, and I just took their word for it.
Yeah,
me too. Yes, you did.
Looks
good job,
great.
Girls.
Yeah.
So Angela's dad comes over, and he's leaving. He wanted to say goodbye. He wants to make sure that she's all right, and he asked Sean to come with him. And she's just like, you know what? I'm doing great. I'm in my new apartment. Looking forward to the next part of my life. Three women together.
Yeah, sounds like a fun time. It does. Yeah. Well, actually, no, it sounds like a terrible time.
Yeah. And then Mr. Angela's dad just like orders the women to get out of their own apartment so he can force Angela to get back together with her boyfriend.
Makes sense.
This is so stupid. I can't.
And it's Sean so is like dumb. Now like fully Angela's dad's like little protege, just following right. him around in his little uniform.
It, yeah. Also, like he's not going to the military anymore, but he still wears.
Still gets the uniform. He still has a name tag. How far in the process do you have to go to get the name tag?
I bet that the sergeant carries a label maker with him at all times.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, okay. I really do think that Sean looks good in this little military uniform, but
it's just like it's the societal thing of, oh, everyone looks better in a uniform, baby.
The one part I don't like about it, though, is that there's like a clear flaw on one of the shoulders. It looks like there's two inside out pockets on one of the sides. I don't know if you guys noticed that. It looks ridiculous.
It was another thing I wasn't fully analyzing.
Yeah, I see it. Is that not how it's supposed to look?
I don't have one, but it definitely looks strange.
Yeah, actually, yeah. If you've joined the military, you would know that that's how they look. I'm sure Phoenix can tell you all about it.
If Angela's dad has a floppy shoulder pocket, but I'm not seeing it.
It's on the top. It could be useful.
No, he doesn't have a floppy shoulder pocket.
See? Okay, so I'm
not crazy. Yeah, fire the costume department. They messed up.
It could be useful, maybe. I don't think about if you had just a humongous pocket just on one shoulder. You could fill that bad boy up with lots of snacks.
But then you'd lean. You're messing
when are you going to, like, if you need much. Something, when are you ever going to reach into your shoulder pocket? To get, like, that's absurd.
I feel like that would actually be a good spot to hide. Like, okay, pretend you're walking down a really scary street at night. Uh-huh. And you want to hide, like, a pocket knife or, like, pepper spray. That feels like an easy spot to be like, oh, I just have an itch. Wacha! Pepper spray.
I have an idea.
Before you mug me, sir, can you just let me itch my shoulder, please?
It could be his hat that he has looped through his...
Is that a thing?
No, I don't know. I'm just making it up.
Don't try to make up for their mistakes, Sarah. It's fine.
Yes. It doesn't look right.
Regardless, we find out that Angela's father has told Sean all about the fact that their mom left
them. Are you kidding? He brings up, like, the already established, very delicate subject of Angela's mom. And, like, Angela's like, you can't just bring that up if I don't want to talk about it with Sean. Like, you can't just tell people about it.
Yeah. And Sean is just like, I don't understand why you didn't tell me. That would have brought us closer together because, like, hi, same.
I'm actually surprised that Angela didn't share this information with him, but I guess the point is she doesn't owe him anything.
No,
but...
Sarah, the reason she didn't tell him this information is because the writers didn't have this information until this episode.
Logic. You're throwing logic at me. How dare you?
These are the facts. But she says, so her reasoning is, like, she doesn't want to be close to him because she doesn't want to hurt him because he's like, you're already killing me. She says, I can't love you because I'll leave you. And her dad, instead of letting them have this moment between, like, you know, ex-lovers or, you know, that sounded gross coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Ex-lovers. Ex-partners. Her dad steps in and he's like, no, I didn't raise a daughter to surrender.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I feel bad for Angela with all of this. Like, she's being forced to relive it with her ex-boyfriend just because he's been through something similar. And now, yeah, there's that awkward element that her dad is just, like, randomly there forcing it to happen. And then also, like, jumping in. Like, I don't know what were we supposed to think of this? Like, it's so weird.
I think we're supposed to think it's sweet.
I guess, like, but I don't know. Some disconnect here between me and the writers here.
It's weird to have this moment between father-daughter and also, like, ex-lovers.
I think they need to choose one. Do both separately. And I think it should be Angela and her dad, if I'm being honest, because we've had so much of Angela and Sean that I'm perfectly fine with, like, allowing her to have a familial moment that, again, passes the Bechdel test.
Sure.
Where it's like she's talking about her mother with her father and, you know, but her dad is just like, it's fine. I'm okay. This is about you. I want you to be happy. And I think, Sarah, what bothers me most is, like, he doesn't necessarily know that Angela actually does want to be with Sean and love Sean. He just assumes that. And so he says, like, how can you be happy if you're afraid to tell the man you love that you love him?
Because we just don't know for sure yet if she does. She's been saying the opposite.
Yeah. And exactly. Yeah.
There's an insane moment where Sean is like, I forget about what, but Sean's like, why not? And Angela's dad just inserts himself to say, yeah, why not? Like, back up, buddy. Like, what? Are you kidding me? What's happening?
Yeah, what do you
hang up on Angela? What is happening? Like, I don't know. I don't get the logic either of what Angela's saying when she's like, I can't love you, like, because she's going to end up leaving him or something. But like, I don't know. Maybe she should probably like go to therapy for this instead of get yelled at by her ROTC father for it.
No. This is the better option.
Yeah.
And Sarah, that's literally all it takes for Angela to be like, I love you.
Yeah.
Well, we do know that she loves him. It's not what she's saying, but I think that's what she showed. She told Corey that she still loved him not too long ago. I think that the reasons why she doesn't want to be with Sean is all fear-based, which is never good. So, but yeah, you know, we can only believe as much she tells us, and she's been telling us all episode that she does not love him and she does not want to be with him.
Yeah.
Up until the end where she's like, actually, yeah, I do want to be with him, and then they're together again.
Yeah, and then they're in love, and then Rachel says, oh, one down, love's in the air. I won't be long before Corey finds out they're together, and then
can't wait for Corey to adorably stalk you now, Topanga. I'm Rachel. I just love stalkers.
He's already done that for like 7 seasons straight.
And then we get the best end credit scene. It's not even close of the entire series, with Sean and Angela making out on the couch. Topanga comes downstairs and she's just like, you're squashing Eric. And
I'm only asking because it's 3 in the morning and you're crushing Eric.
I love they so delicately put a pillow over his face. Letting Wolf and Bell trying to breathe under there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, once I saw him get up, I was like, how did I not see this before he got up?
He's so well hidden.
How did he get up is my question.
He couldn't get up at first and then just stumbles everywhere. Yeah, that's what gets him hysterically laughing to begin with.
I love watching who breaks first. And usually it seems like it's Danielle Fishel. But I do think that there's like the element, you know, just the other day I was talking about how in Pop Meets World, they said that the reason why Sean and Eric don't have a lot of scenes together is because Will and Ryder made each other laugh so hard. And like, this is the proof. Like,
this is the proof of why they couldn't have scenes together. Because if the two of them make eye contact, it's usually them laughing. I swear, I'm rewatching this right now. There is one of these bloopers where you can literally see Trina rolling her eyes.
Wow.
Like, she's so fucking over it.
She's the only one that's not breaking.
Yes.
I have children to go home to.
I love the last one when Sean and Angela forget to get up. And Will crushing like, you have to get up.
They're like, oh, crap.
Yeah. It's so charming. It's so fun. And this is the kind of stuff that I wish they did for, like, honestly, I would rather them do bloopers for every end credit scene. I don't know if they have bloopers to use every end credit scene, but I wish they did it more often, just because I think it really brings that, like, it shows that, like, wow, these group of people who've hung out for 7 years
are
like,
having fun on set. Yeah, I love it. I love a blooper reel. It's like my favorite thing in the world.
I use blooper reels all the time on my favorite shows.
No, I mean, see, the first 2 seasons, the DVDs, they're great. They have commentaries of the actors. They're amazing. The season 3 has a little bit less special features, but still has some. And then 4 through 7, they just phoned it in. They have nothing on those DVDs. For it's sure. very upsetting. But those first 2 seasons, I have listened through all those commentaries
so
many
weird.
Times.
I would think there'd even be more on the later seasons because they're actually like adults by the end of it. So they could would have more insight.
They are so over it. They don't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone, by the time they were making the seasons 4 through 7 DVDs, I think everyone stopped caring about doing anything.
Which is so sad because, I don't know, especially because like 5 is like the best season ever. How nice would it have been to have full commentary on all of that? It would have been amazing.
The community DVDs, there's commentary on every single episode. I cannot speak highly enough about the DVDs for Community.
Yeah, they're really good. Now that Sean and Angela are back together, let's take a quick ad break, because when we come back, we got to get Topanga and Corey back together, because we can't possibly have one couple together and one apart. So we will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back. Let's get into it. No such thing as a sure thing.
Makeout City, baby.
So that's gross. What it should have been called. Makeout City, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're at a pep rally. I can't. Okay. I don't care if you make out a lot at home, but you're in a student lounge. You're sitting on a chair that like people want to sit on. Go fucking suck face in your bedroom.
It's also like an incredibly weird move for Sean and Angela to ask to sit with Topanga and then just start making out with each other. It feels personal. Like, what are they doing?
I sort of get it though, because you still want to hang out with your friends or feel like you are near your friends, but you still want to suck face. So you get a little bit of both. You know you're around your pals.
Yeah.
In the proximity.
And like, I can't with this first like scene, so they're like a big pep rally happening in the student lounge of all places, which is also really weird. Like, go to a fucking gymnasium.
It was so cramped in there.
Everything happens in the student lounge. Like in the last episode, Angela's dad announces like the ROTC results in the student lounge. Like,
right.
Like there's literally like 20 people at this pep rally. It's the saddest fucking pep rally of all time.
What is the budget for this season? They only have one room to go to.
And as we've established, Eric and Jack are canonically cheerleaders for the football team. They're like lifting people up.
I actually liked it because I felt like this was the first time that this show actually felt like they were at college, because I feel like they're barely in college.
I disagree
strongly, because it's like no mention of football. By the way, Rachel, Jack, and Eric are all cheerleaders.
And everyone in the school cares so deeply about football.
Yes.
Like, Jerry Mungo's a huge deal. Their family cares about it. Like, Alan's putting money on the games.
Yes.
Like,
the only people who don't care are Angela and Sean, who are too busy making out the entire time.
Yes.
Yeah. And Topanga, who's too busy sulking.
I do love the great physical comedy with Eric on the trampoline. That made me
I love it. Yeah, that was. I love the scene where the part where he's like trying to chase after the penguin, and the penguin does this like flip, and then he tries to chase the penguin, and then he just flips. He just jumps back on the trampoline.
He just bounces right back. So right.
Yeah, just not very skilled.
So we have. This is apparently an old school rivalry between Pembroke and the Amish. Just the Amish, not the even Amish. Like a school, just
it's
called
not
the
a school.
Amish.
Yeah, it's just a group it's of not Amish a school. People.
Which is so weird. Which I think lets us know that Pembroke is not in any kind of division. Like, they are just
this is a club
football against people on the streets.
Well, I mean, they are in Pennsylvania, but like at the same time, what the fuck?
They have a football game against Jedediah's bookstore next week too.
And also, why is their mascot, who's a giant penguin, called Pengy? They could come up with literally anything else.
Like, I don't know. Penny the Penguin sounds better.
Pengy the Penguin.
Petey the Penguin. Pengy.
I like the Pembroke Penguins. I think that's a really that's good mascot name. Yeah. Very strong.
Corey should start calling Topanga Pengy for short.
Oh, that's cool. Do you like the better than Topi? What was the other one I hated? Topi.
Topi. Oh my god. That's horrible.
Terrible.
Oh, I like it. I still dopey. Like it.
It sounds like dopey.
So Sean and Angela go make out next to Topanga outside, which she's like not into. Eric and Jack are lifting up a cheerleader. And naturally, Eric is just looking right up her skirt, which we're like, no, Eric.
And you know I have something to say about this. you can't love that he's looking up someone's skirt and enjoying it, but you do have to love the... See a panty.
Love that. I also love the fact that he's still wearing this fucking choker that looks like it's strangling him to death. It's far too much. And we find out that apparently Jack thinks Sarah is he's a gambler. He really likes to gamble. I do think this makes sense. I feel like Chet is a gambler. I feel it makes sense that Jack
comes from a rich family. Makes sense.
Right.
Also, very, very timely, because right now you cannot watch sports without the gambling aspect involved. Like, they are hand in hand these days.
Sports gambling what did I bet on something the other day? Nope. I'm literally thinking of the Dawson's Creek. Thinking of the Dawson's Creek draft. So that's what
that happens
about.
To me all the time.
I
thought I bet on something, but it was actually just Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I was about to like brag how like I won money. Nope, I just won the Dawson's Creek draft.
That's even better.
It's probably more impressive.
Yeah.
See, when we get this whole plot line, I think we're going to really get into just addiction in general, just like get into his addiction with gambling, and it just becomes a big joke.
Yeah, the whole thing is very much a joke.
Yeah, I thought Eric was teaching him a lesson of some sort by like, I don't get it.
No, because he's like, do you have a serious problem that needs my help? And Jack's like, no. And he's like, okay, great. And he hugs him.
Right, but yeah. I think Eric maybe is sometimes smarter than he looks, and I was dead wrong.
Yeah. And this is when we find out Pangy is Amish.
What?
And we get the chase scene.
Yeah, he stole the playbook. How could he?
The only reason they know is because he has a beard. It's like, oh my God, he has a beard. He's Amish. Right. The trampoline is truly magnificent. Like, and Will Friedle is so good at this. Yeah. So meanwhile, Corey goes to check in on Topanga, and he's just like, look at them. Look at they're making out. I want to be like them. Because like, we're going to hate each other one day. And I love Corey's retort of, we hate each other now.
That is a good retort.
Very true.
And the thing I don't like is that he's like, make out with me.
No.
And
yeah.
I turned her back to him, and he goes to kiss her. And she, first of all, she said no, Corey. He says, that's not going to stop me. He goes to kiss her face, and she just shoves
him. That is bad. I don't love Corey.
He attacks her with his lips.
Onto Topanga at all. Like, she had every right to shove him to the ground.
He gets mad that he got shoved.
Even though she's very apologetic afterwards. Like, yeah, Corey has the nerve to say he's had it with Topanga. Like, it gets very serious. He's like, I've had it with you, Topanga. Like, what? You were just sexually assaulting her right now. Yeah.
Also, the audience really turned their back on Topanga because she threw him off of them, and they were like, ooh.
Yeah.
I know. That's going to be like a serious moment.
And then,
like,
And then Corey like gets back at her by agreeing to be the mascot. Wait, okay, sure. And the audience awes at that. Like, I don't know what is happening right now.
Mascot. It's so stupid. The reason, this is so dumb. It's not like he's like, I'm going to go shoot guns. I'm going to go join the army. He's like, I'm literally going to be a school mascot. And she's like, but Corey, you're going to hurt yourself.
Corey, don't. It's too dangerous.
You're going to knock over the tube.
Because like, they know that no one would like actually believe that Corey would join the military, and if they have to go super low stakes, I'm gonna be the mascot and jump on a trampoline.
It's so stupid. He's like, I'm the bird. Do you hear that, Topanga? I'm a bird, and this bird is flying solo.
The bird head is genuinely funny.
It is funny.
As is really Ben's mascot head.
As is Ben Savage's "How You Doing" to Sean and Angela making out multiple times.
That was throughout. Like Feeny did it too.
Yeah.
Feeny did not deliver the line as well as
not
Corey
as
did.
Good.
Not as good.
But yeah, this has been, like you were saying, Matt, we get like, apparently the entire family is invested in this stupid football game.
Jack eats dinner at their house, first of all. They all crowd around the table. Yeah. And like, yeah, and Alan is apparently very into the Pembroke football team. He knows all about Jerry Mungo.
Who's this universal bookie that they all use?
Dan the bookie.
Dan the bookie. All right.
Yeah.
And like Jack's response to when I think Amy says never start gambling and Jack has his whole like monologue does not get any reaction from anyone really. Morgan is the only one who saw it.
No, Morgan's like, you have a problem, but that's it. Nobody else is listening to him.
Alan literally starts talking about potatoes after that.
Yeah. He was talking about his dark backstory and nobody cares.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, this is all we see of that family for these two episodes. We get this one scene. That's it.
Yeah, he's a poor guy. He's on his own here. And Corey just keeps going, I'm the penguin. Like the entire conversation.
Me,
and I'm like, it's really like, I can't now, the more I think of this theory, the more I'm on board with the fact that everyone has turned into just like these cartoon character versions of themselves. Because Corey's just like, it's me. Hello. Here.
I'm for two episodes in a row.
Penguin mascot costumes are a lot less expensive than you would think they are.
Why are you?
How much are
you looking?
Halloween's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. I have a really cute one for like $236.
But they look so sweaty.
That's right under my budget.
Yeah, that's really good. There's one where it's rap penguin mascot, and he's a cool penguin, and he's a rapper.
It comes with a rap.
I'm sorry.
$419.
He's a rapper. The penguin. What makes him a rapper?
He has a gold chain.
The universal symbol of a rapper.
He has like Yeezys or like Air Jordans.
Oh shit!
It gets worse the more you talk.
He's a cool penguin.
Wow. Anyway. Feeny comes into the student lounge. Angela and Sean, of course, are still making out, but he's like, hey, you know what, Jerry, you better get your shit together because you're not going to play if you don't pass my fucking test, because I'm the only teacher in this school
who has morals. Yeah, well, the only teacher in the school to begin with. Yes, you're right. Yes. Rachel is also very concerned about Mungo passing. Didn't really know that Rachel was so into football as well, as is everyone in this school all of a sudden for this one episode.
Yeah, she's trying to get him to study. And apparently he's a history major. Yeah.
So my question is that we get to like the classroom at some point, and he's talking about how if he gets a 65, he passes. So is his overall average right now a 64? And if he gets a 65 on this test, then he is passing the class?
Oh, I think he needed to pass the test. Yes.
I think he needs to pass every test in order to play, I guess.
Hmm. Okay. They get the impression that he's so stupid he's failed everything so far.
Yeah.
Right.
And he needs to do well on this one.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah. You know what, Brendan? Try not to ask too many questions.
You can't look too deeply at the show because most of the times you gotta squint a little bit sometimes.
I love when Mungo got the question like very obviously wrong and Eric very confidently goes, "That's one, right?"
That's one.
That's when I started my theory that this has to be a bit that he's doing.
And Jack is all nervous because now he has insider information.
Yeah, he's very sitcom-y with this habit. Like, he's overacting so much in this. Like, I get that's the point. Like, I get it.
Right.
It took me out of it so much.
Yeah, he's biting his fingernails. Yeah.
He's so animated and like talking to no one. Like, it's
Jack's very bad. when he first came onto the show, I liked him a lot for some reason, but I feel like his character is just so drastically different than when we first met him, and he's just like kind of a one-liner.
He's eye candy. That's all he is.
Yeah, but his one-liners are always terrible. So bad.
Well, he calls someone a gavoons in this scene, which I did not even know it was a word.
I know gavoon. Gavoon is like a big eater, I think.
Yeah, that is Mungo.
That's what he meant.
Yeah.
So he calls his bookie and
on a payphone,
and Eric says, "Hello, bookie. My name is Eric. I would also like to place a dime on the Amish. Thank you very much."
You know,
that's all you need. One name.
When he used that payphone, I thought Adam Levine was going to answer.
Oh, Adam Levine in the news. Very timely.
Is he in the news?
Yeah, what?
Come on, Brendan.
All right, we're stopping down. We're stopping down.
I was just making a payphone joke.
No, cheat on his wife. No. He's married.
This is the biggest
Adam Levine answered
right
the payphone.
Okay, Sarah, give us the quick headline. What happened?
Well, okay. So as we all know, Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is dating is married to a Victoria's Secret model and has multiple kids. And this OnlyFans/TikTok/Instagram model came out the other day and said that she had an affair with him and he was sliding in her DMs and they had a year-long affair.
Oh.
And that ultimately I think like she stopped it because I don't know, he said that the marriage is on the way out, as cheaters do. And do you want to hear
get to the punchline?
Yeah. So they stopped talking for a while, and she brought all of this up because recently he reached out to her again and said that he wanted to name his third child after her.
Oh, yeah.
What a monster.
Yeah, so wait a minute.
His wife is currently pregnant?
I don't know if this was like back.
Or he's just like,
he's going to go have another kid with his wife and then name the
baby.
That's
what I'm
going to
say. Is he like, "Hey, baby, one day I'm going to get impregnate my wife and name our child after you"?
No, I think that she was. More recently. And then it came out today. He's denying it. Like, he's full out denying it.
Well, I'm glad. This is why I guest on podcasts, so I can get news.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would never learn anything.
I learned this by Twitter, and I didn't even know the last part. So fascinating.
Yeah, the last part is kind of the best part. Well, it's the worst part.
You just can't trust men that look like that. Is the deal? Look at him. Look at him. Come on.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, speaking of payphones, we talk about dimes. Dime is $14.50.
Again, very confidently saying, "I know the lingo. A dime, $14.50." Was my laugh of the episode, because why would it be $14.50? That's
even
so funny.
There's no logic there. So good.
Yeah. It sounds to me. I was like, yeah, $14.50. That sounds great.
Sorry, go on.
No, does $1,000 make more sense?
It makes more sense than $14.
Well, there's a 10 in a 1,000.
$14.50 is just so random of a unit to be like, but I'm glad that Eric does raise the stakes, because I mean, $1,000 is obviously a lot to lose on one bet, but it's not like life-changing money that if they lose. So when he raised it to $5,000, I was like, all right, the stakes I feel like appropriate now.
And then also like buy something with the prize money he doesn't have yet. So now the stakes are really up there.
Yeah.
Then we have Corey, who's in his penguin costume for new. Who the fuck knows why? There's nothing happening. He's just walking around.
Because he's the penguin.
Penguin suit.
Because he's Penguin. Yeah,
and as happens, Corey becomes the mascot, and immediately girls start hitting on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Maybe after the big game, you'll see me in my dorm room. You can get a tour. And Corey's really like, are they all the same looking? And Sean takes a moment out of his very busy makeout schedule to kick Corey.
To kick him.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I totally relate to Corey in this moment. I never understood when anyone was maybe interested in me, or even if it was mutual. I would have needed this kick as well. So Sean, way to go as a best friend.
He's a great best friend, Sean, but also he knows that Topanga's right there. He's supposed to be friends with Topanga too, but I don't know.
It's fine.
Listen, Topanga doesn't want anything to do with Corey these days.
That's true. That's a great point.
So Topanga's like on like watching all of this from like the spot behind the door, and she's all sad. So she goes and sits down to Sean and Angela, who are making out, and Angela is taking like kissing and then talking, and then it's so distracting.
You can take a little break from the kissing. Like, well, maybe I'm wrong, but wouldn't kissing get boring after a while? Like,
yes.
Sean hasn't drank water in 4 days.
Like, I'm just going to say, like, she says to Sean, give me 5 minutes. I'll make it up to you. When he walks away, his lips look fucking red as fuck.
They really do.
They look raw. Like,
this can't be fun anymore.
No.
And it has to progress, like, right?
Yeah.
That's the issue. That's the thing.
By this point, they would be like having sex in the rooms. They wouldn't be just making out in public places. Like, kissing is getting you nowhere at this point. Come on.
Anyway. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Angela makes Topanga feel better. She's just like, you're both miserable. Why are you doing this? Like, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Topanga admits to being unhappy. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, I remembered this. I don't know when the last time I did a full rewatch was, but this was always the Corey and Topanga breakup that like made the least sense to me.
Right, because the main reason is that Topanga just doesn't believe in love anymore.
I guess it was just like just the one more to bring us to the end, like bring us to the last season.
Yeah.
You know,
like we need one more. We can't just have them be happy for a whole season.
Right.
Yep. Well, we have it. That was season 4. And it was a little
boring. Season that was. But had the best theme song.
It did. We want the drama.
That's true. That's true.
Topanga really mastered the pout in this episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was even pouting a storm.
She even gives Angela her chapstick because she has no need for it. Sean and Angela continue making out after they've had the tiniest bit of water. They're not even sucking face. They're just pressing mouths together.
it does look a little painful.
That's what I'm saying. And they're sitting on a chair. They're not even sitting on like a couch for two people anyway.
None of this can be comfortable.
Eric comes in on his bike.
Love that you can just ride a bike into the student lounge.
Ciao, Bella. I like bike. I honk at the horn.
Why does it give him an Italian accent?
Why?
Let me tell you why.
Actor choice, by far.
Because accents are fucking fun.
Yes,
that's true.
Fun.
That's the sole reason. Like, do I just do random accents around the house for no reason?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, I do.
What does riding bikes have anything to do with being Italian?
We ride bikes in Italy.
He honk at the horn.
Obviously, it's stupid for Eric to spend the money before he wins, but like Eric is stupid, so that tracks. But like, what I'm more intrigued about is why the first thing Eric buys with his money is a fancy bike. Was it literally just the first thing he saw and was like, ooh, that costs money. I'm going to have money. I need to buy this.
I think so, yeah.
I think so too, because he bought the entire outfit to go with it. He has bike helmets on and a helmet.
Yeah, where does he shop that he passes stuff like this in the mall?
Yeah, he's the type of person where it's like if he passes a store, he needs blinders on because he's just gonna go in.
Like, ooh, shiny, let me get that.
And again, I know that he must be doing a bit because I know that he can't be this dumb when he says,
yeah,
I've known Feedy for it's gotta be 57 years now. Like, he knows how old he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's just doing a bit. I know, he must be.
I think Eric in his head chose Italian first and then went with the bike. He's like, okay, what can I think? Italian, what's Italian? I guess bike riding.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And he also apparently he says, then when I got the expensive bike and the $200 panties with the cushions on the buttocks, $200 for these. What?
That adds up.
Listen, he's going to have the money. Might as well.
Yeah. Bike accessories are really expensive. And if you're going to be really into biking and you're going to be doing, I don't know, 30 miles
he's
a day
not
on
into
your bike,
biking.
He could be into biking.
He's going to be now. Now that he's going to be rich, that's his new personality.
You need a good butt pad for the bike, or else Bud's gonna get murdered.
I'm not denying that fact. I'm just saying he's not a biker.
He could be. Not yet.
But I mean, 200 is a drop in the bucket for the $5,000 bike.
Exactly. Fair.
So they decide, you know what? Everything's gonna be fine as long as Jerry doesn't play. That's all we need. There's no way he could play. Feeny's not going to go soft. And so they come up with this plan that makes no fucking sense. Where they go for Eric goes in to see Feeny. And he says the door to
He rides his bike into Feeny's class. Love that Feeny has no patience for Eric's Italian accent.
And yeah, Feeny's just like, listen, Jerry Mungo can score touchdowns. And he's been giving a, you know what? He needs to play. And Feeny's just like, you know what? He's been given a free ride. I detest it. I can't stand it. And so Eric's like,
not Jerry's problem though. That's the university's issue. Sure. That's like Jerry's a universal national issue.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry didn't ask to get like a free ride to the school. I'm sure they recruited him and offered him a bunch of stuff. And I think he was genuinely surprised when he found out he had to pass tests as well.
Yeah.
He said
that he got paid to be there. So
the thing is, yeah, he's here to play football. He's not here to become a history. Yeah,
they're supposed to help fake his test scores, honestly.
Yeah, I've always heard that. Exactly.
Ridiculous. So Eric's all excited. He gives a little like hee. And they do this back and forth, which makes no fucking sense of how much
on
is passing.
So long. Eric has so many examples. Well, I love it. Feeny just like effortlessly zings him when he's like, oh, that's right, you wouldn't know. Like when he asks what passing is. It goes on for so long with Eric asking if various scores are passing or failing.
Yeah. And just every time Feeny answers a question and then he to himself giggles as if Feeny does not see him giggling and asks another question. Giggles on his way out as he rides out of the classroom. Giggles on his way back in.
Yeah. And so then Eric goes back out to Jack and he's like, yeah, Feeny's, there's no way Feeny's going to let him play. And Jack's like, great. Okay, let's go. And Eric's like, no, I have one more thing I have to do.
If I was Jack, I wouldn't have trusted that Eric like outsmarted Feeny to begin with. But he's just like, all right, great job, man. Yeah. You did it. And then Eric's like, no, I got one more. Going back in.
Yeah. Well, and then he bikes back in.
Yeah, and he's like, just don't you forget when Jerry fails his test and the Amish horse-drawn buggy charges against our football field in victory, crushing the hearts of every student here, you hold your head up high, Feeny, because you held your ethics.
You see, this is where I thought he wanted to lose the bet to teach Jack a lesson.
It's very confusing.
I do like that this doesn't change Feeny's mind. Like, because if Feeny did just like pass him, even though he didn't get a passing grade, that would be so against Feeny's character. So at least Feeny, for some reason, this inspires him to do, like, he's a great teacher. Got to hand it to him. He does the impossible and like brute forces Jerry Mungo into like passing this test somehow.
Yeah, this is so stupid. This whole subplot is pretty dumb to begin with. Again, feels very sticky notice of like, okay, we need Corey and Topanga to get back together. What else can we do with the rest of the cast? Pep rally. Great. Okay. And so then we get, again, Rhiannon and Jed, the ones we think the Rhiannon is good. This version of Topanga's mom is excellent. This version of Topanga's dad is terrible.
No, it does not give me Topanga's dad vibes. This is bad. Of
the
three people,
is the best version.
Of the three people that play Topanga's father, this is not my favorite.
This one's your least favorite?
We said the other one is our least favorite. He's our second least favorite.
Yeah, I know he's not my favorite. I know I'm picturing the guy that is my favorite, and I don't remember the third one, but I do know that
Michael Keaton. Oh my god, what's his name, Sarah? He plays Chuck in Better Call Saul. That's who plays
Michael McKean.
That's who it is. Oh,
okay. Asking me who characters are in freaking Better Call Saul. What a
you
show. Know,
maybe you should watch it because it's a fantastic show.
I will never watch it. I've got your back, Sarah.
I will never watch that show.
Okay. He played the second version and he sucked. Okay. Not that he sucked, but he doesn't make sense as the role. So they're like, you know what? Now's the time. I gotta tell Topanga that I fucked somebody else.
We had her dorm because this could have been done anywhere else. Like Topanga could have been home for this. Like they have to go to her apartment at school to fill her in on this.
I also love how confident he is that she's gonna love him even more afterwards.
Yeah, and my favorite is how we skip the entire scene. She's just like get out. And then she just like hugs her mom and she's like go, and he's like I love you sweetie, I'm sorry. It's like it's so stupid.
I did it for you.
And Topanga's like, did you know? And her mom, so savage. Yeah, honey, I knew. He was just so happy all the time. Like, what the hell? And she's like, why didn't you tell me? It's like, well, do you normally tell your daughter? Like, oh, by the way, your father was fucking around on me. Like, I guess you could.
Well, they spent the entire summer together, you Jess.
They didn't tell her, and it caused her to break up with Corey. So now look what they've done.
Yeah, she broke up with Corey because she thought that love was dead because her parents love each other so much and they still didn't work
out. But the thing is, like, there are people who get divorced without cheating having been involved.
That's the thing. It's the only way.
I mean, no, but that's why Topanga, to her, it's more digestible if there was a cheater, because if there's no cheating, then Topanga's like,
then love just doesn't exist.
Yeah, like, it can just evaporate out of nowhere, the love.
The logic still doesn't make sense. But
it still doesn't. It still doesn't make sense because the season finale last season, we were supposed to believe that her parents were just like really not getting along. Like, to me, it was more of like they actually fell out of love and they hated each other. And now they're trying to be like, well, they still loved each other, but her dad just went and fucked around on her mom.
Yeah, I don't know. And it, like, Topanga's saying she doesn't want her and Corey to ever hurt each other like her parents did, but then like. So what's her plan? She's just never going to date anyone anymore? Or is she just going to find someone that she doesn't mind hurting? Like, I don't understand.
Oh.
It's not a long-term plan.
Yeah, it's all so stupid. But Topanga's like, I don't like him anymore. And her mom's like, neither do I. Except I do. And so do you. He's your father. And she's like, I hate him. So ridiculous. But I do love her mom saying, after you cut his head out of all your photos and smash everything he owns and cry hysterically for 3 months, you eventually get to rational, you know?
Yeah. And she'll get over it eventually.
Yeah. And she says, you shouldn't let what happened between me and your dad affect things with Corey. But she's just like, you know what? I may not be a wife anymore, but I'm your mother. It's like, okay.
How nice.
I mean, this is why I never understood why people put like so much stock into their parents' relationships. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a special person, but I never thought like, well, if my parents couldn't make it work, then I'm sure. And I guess I am, because I never thought
maybe you're the Corey of this four. I'm
it's
special.
All about me. It's all about me. If my parents can't make it work, then I'm sure doomed as well. Like, parents suck. Stop caring so much about them. I don't.
Just do your own thing.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like,
are your parents still together?
No, haven't.
Okay,
haven't
been. Yeah, so we don't care.
Yeah,
but do you still believe in love?
I mean, if I don't, it's not because of anything that happened with my parents.
Just your own terrible experiences.
Yeah, exactly. I base everything off of me, as I should.
Right,
because you're the Corey of this force.
Because I am the Corey. Yeah.
You're my little Pengy.
Oh no! Ew, I hate it.
And I'm your Topi.
Oh no! It's beautiful. Sarah loves it.
Anyway, where were we?
Her mom is just like, you know what? What you and Corey have, it's rare, it's real, and good and true. You shouldn't throw that away. It's all. She's like, you know what? I would never trade what I had you with your father, even if I knew it wasn't going to last. She's like, never.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of what's going to happen to the future with you and Corey. Are you going to have the courage to marry him and find out? And I'm just like, I think you could have left it at like be in a relationship with
him. Yeah, just
mom.
Have them get back together. You know, they really don't have to get married right now. Yeah,
right.
They're too young. They're obviously too young to get married.
No, they're in college. They have to get married now.
Right now. I still don't understand what the rush is, but yeah, we got to get married right now. This instant. I do think it's good advice from Rhiannon, because she was basically like, don't let my life affect yours. Essentially, Corey's a good guy. He's not your father. Our relationship is not one-to-one to yours. So she was giving good advice.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I don't know.
Great advice. She just should have stopped just like one step short of also marry him.
And marry him right now.
So then we're back at the pep rally time, and we have the same girl flirting with Corey, touching his little penguin beak.
Oh,
it's
top or bottom.
Not like that. No,
touching the beak. Oh, is that what we do in the dorm rooms when you go back to the dorm room? You touch beaks.
Touch the beaks. Yeah. Also, Gagan, real quick, do you remember me doing this well with the ladies when I would wear the Adventureland Alfie Adventureland costume?
I remember you slapping ice cream out of little girls' hands and making them cry.
What?
And running away. Well, I was dancing and I was doing a sort of dance that my arms were flailing around a lot, and I knocked over someone's Dippin' Dots ice cream of the future.
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately sprinted the other way because I didn't know how to handle
it. I'm not dealing with this.
You're like, this ice cream does not belong in this century. It's of the future. Yeah,
exactly. But of course, I don't know why I thought I could get away with it, because I was the only guy in the entire park with a costume on. So, you could immediately point to the guy who made the mess.
That wasn't me.
That was not inconspicuous at all. They'll know.
Yeah.
You need a better alibi than that. Did you ever touch Beaks?
Kind of.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I can't tell you why.
No, yeah. No, we don't need to know. So, but we do have a fiancé of the pod. So,
yes.
It got us somewhere.
I just don't want Paul of Adventureland to find out what happened.
I'm going to tell him.
Don't you dare.
Tell him.
Phoebe's at the pep rally too. Eric and Jack are so excited because they're like, oh, he's going to give everyone bad news. But instead, Jerry passed his test. He's playing.
Yay. This is huge. I was really hyped when I heard he passed the test.
Yeah. Didn't he get like literally the exact 65. Score that he needed?
Yeah, he got exactly what he needed. And it's so stupid. Feeny's just like, you know what? I was so focused on academia, I forgot all about school spirit. And I'm like, who the fuck is this Feeny?
Yeah, like what?
Feeny's even matching his tie to the school's colors. That's how passionate he is.
When Feeny's getting laid, he is so much more relaxed with the children and their grades.
He's getting laid right now.
He has married. A wife.
Wow.
He married the dean. Getting it on the red.
I don't remember what the dean's name is, but
Dean Bollinger. But I don't know what her first name is.
The dean.
Dean-a-ling. So he passed. Jack and Eric are really upset about it.
And like the bookies actually show up to this game for their $5,000 bet.
Yeah, this is Danny. Danny sent us. Danny the bookie.
Yeah. Okay.
The bookies goons.
What are the odds is the bookie is gambling Dan, Jessica?
Pretty high likelihood, I think.
Yeah. He
gambling Dan
was just a college student. Yeah. Do you think that his business really took off and now he's a bookie?
I think so. I mean, he preys on the college kids.
Good job for gambling Dan. So they are now on the run because obviously they don't have $5,000, five dimes to pay up.
Five dimes. Yeah. And so they run. Topanga comes in and just says to the penguin, just don't speak. Just hug me. And so he does. Then he tries to grab her butt and she just punches him. And I'm like, okay, to be fair, you shouldn't have touched her butt, Penguin, but you did ask for the hug.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have touched the butt.
This is another Alfie Adventureland move. You got to be careful when you ask me for a hug.
Now, you can see the face within the penguin's mouth. So I feel like this is Topanga. You need to look closely to Topanga.
Yes. Always look a penguin in the mouth before you go into the hug. Beaks.
It reminds me of the episode of Sex and the City where Miranda was crushing on a sandwich. She saw through the thing.
Yeah, where he kept saying, eat me.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from Sex in the City. Not really. Don't learn anything. I do love the episode, though, where Samantha's dating an older guy, and she's, like, totally into it because he buys her tons of presents until they have sex and she sees his saggy old man butt. And she's just like, I'm done. I can't.
That's it. Saggy penguin beak.
Yeah, I get that.
Topanga and Corey get back together. Topanga knocks him on the ground, and she's just like, you know what? Nobody knows me better than you. You mean everything to me. I want to be with you forever. I love you. I want to be your wife. She just says, you know what? Something bad happens to us. It can't change what we have now, what we've always had. You're right. Love is real. We have to do everything we can to keep it alive. And I just love Corey saying, well, you really haven't been doing that, dear.
I'm letting it as we see it.
And then he gets knocked on the ground. He's like, oh, this is new.
Corey's never felt the weight of Topanga before on him because she doesn't go near him ever.
Poor guy.
So they say they're going to be together forever or until tomorrow. And they kiss. And then, like, I don't know how they don't get crushed in a stampede.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're all, the, all these weirdo extras that are all awkwardly cheering as the football team marches out are very careful to avoid.
We're going to go kill the Amish! And all that's left are just Topanga and Corey making out on the ground and Sean and Angela making out on the one chair in the room. There's no couches. Mm-hmm. There's a single chair and they're
They took the couches with them.
Yeah.
That's so crazy the crowds are. They, they take the couches for tailgating.
Yeah, but they leave the single chair.
We get, like, honestly, Sarah, we get something, such a missed opportunity with this end credit scene. They had so many times where they can make the call back to that farmhouse there.
Oh.
And they don't do it.
It was right there.
It was right there. They're dressed up as Amish men.
Yeah, because Jack and Eric are on the run, as we said, and now they have disguises and they think that they're going to have to be on the run for the next 50 years.
Makes sense. And unbelievably, the second episode in a row in which Eric holds a pitchfork.
Yes.
I think this has to be like an ongoing theme for him. He's now the pitchfork guy.
Yeah, well, many episodes he can make it in a row where he gets to hold a pitchfork at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love the way, for some reason, the way Eric shouts out like, oh, hey, Anna Noonadyke, I wish to make out with thee. He really does crack me up, and she throws the pitchfork at him. We're chucking pitchforks, let's go. it's very silly. I do kind of wish we had that farmhouse. It was just, come on, you're in a carriage.
This end of credit scene also just pales in comparison to the last one too, so it just doesn't really do a good job.
Not even the same lead.
Yeah, come on.
No, we have not seen an end credit scene that is better or before this nor after, so
exactly.
And those are our two episodes.
So much fun. I'm glad that you both chose this because these are fun episodes to talk about. They're not the creme de la creme of Boy Meets World episodes, but they're extremely fun and, like, funny to talk about. Yeah. So at least
they're creme. Just creme.
They're just creme. No de la creme.
No de la creme, just creme. Yeah, I had a very good time watching these episodes.
Oh, so
Once, like, as soon as we get past a certain point, like Egan always says, that season 6 is great and season 7 is just like not like good quality, but it's
overly absurd.
Cartoonish and so fun. And fun is good TV too, like you were saying earlier, Sarah, like you just need to sometimes let your walls down and
just enjoy accept the premise,
just enjoy it for what it is.
So
as soon as I get past a certain point in the series, I love it no matter what it is. So being asked to be back on for season 7, I didn't know what these episodes were, but I knew I was going to enjoy whatever I watched.
I can't get over Eric hiding. It's stupidly funny.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I think that's just the lesson, is that I know that this isn't going to be like Shawshank Redemption style content, but just like, let's just have a really good fun time covering.
Well, it's our last season, so we have to, right?
Yeah. Which leads to me, you both, Matt and Brendan, have been with us, I think, for this is your third season. You know, as this is our last season of Boy Meets World, I'm just like, I just want to thank you both for being on this journey with us and supporting us on this project and coming back for 3 seasons in a row. It's been amazing getting to know you both, and
hopefully
whatever project we have next or bonus content, I hope to see you both back soon. But thank you for being such a good supporter.
Thanks for always letting us come back.
Yeah, so many times. I will speak for both of us when I say we love you both so much.
We love you too.
Deep and dearly.
Deep and dearly.
And I can't believe you guys had us back so many times. You guys really must love us back. So thank you.
Yeah. You are,
Angela's men.
We got it.
There it is.
Tell us what the Lonely Boys are up to, and the Hoppy Boys, and the Swifty Boys, and
all of us.
All the boys. Yeah, men. Oh, do we have to rebrand it to men? Or are we just boys?
I hope not.
Okay,
it's got to be. There'd be too much work
now to
rebrand. Yeah, of course we have our main flagship show on over at Lonely Boys Studio is the Lonely Boys podcast itself, where we are breaking down every episode of Gossip Girl. We are starting season three. We're actually going to record season three, episode one tomorrow. And that'll be released later this week. So very exciting times. We are in Gossip Girl colon the college years. So that should be a lot of fun. We have a lot of great guests lined up for season three. You both, of course, will come on for season four when you pick out an episode.
I was going to ask, like, I can't believe that we still haven't had, we've been on their show three times.
What's funny is
he was overscheduled to a point where we haven't gotten to have them on.
What's funny is the first time we were on in season five, I had already had season three completely filled up.
Insane.
You're the master of scheduling. That's what it is. You're so, so prepared.
Funny.
So
I just prepared. Can't picture. I just picture Matt being like, "Hey, are you free in a year and a half when we're ready to cover this?"
Yeah, that's why I had to put a pause. I'm like, I cannot start scheduling two seasons in advance. I really need to stop this.
Insane.
Yeah,
because people would be like
having like guest deaths at some point if we keep scheduling out too far.
People have been like, I want to be on the podcast, but I'm like so busy right now. So let me just do the next season. I'm like, oh, don't you worry. If you're busy right now, the next available episode isn't for another 10 months. So I'll just put you down for that one. And they're like, oh yeah, sure. In that case. Anyway, so if you love Gossip Girl and you love us, you'll love the podcast.
We love Gossip Girl.
We are also, what do we do over at on the Patreon? We do OC, but we do OC. You could take it from here.
Oh, Patreon?
Yeah, we have a Patreon. We need to get working on the Nether Games a little bit more free. We're going to come in heavy with some OC content for you guys. We also just, on the main feed, before we got back into Gossip Girl, we just released an amazing Demi Lovato's newest album recap that we did with Malgory. I think that was just like fun to do. So if you guys want to check out some weird content that we do in the off seasons, check that stuff out. Me and also not girlfriend. Oh, wow. What a Freudian slip. Fiance the Pod are starting a new podcast that's coming out October 1st, wherever you get your podcasts, called Over the Garden Pod, where we are covering all of Over the Garden Wall. Whoever knows what that show is. But I love it. It's a famous Halloween-themed Cartoon Network show that kind of looks like Adventure Time a little bit. It's 10 episodes long, 11 minutes each episode. Elijah Wood stars in it. It's an amazing show. It's a great Halloween, quick, like, one-night binge. One of my favorite shows ever. So that'll be released October 1st, and we're just going to release them every weekday until all 10 episodes are over. So quick little bites.
Oh, every weekday.
Monday through Fridays, but they're gonna be like 20-minute episodes, like really quick ones.
So that sounds amazing. That
yeah, it's a fun little mini series.
Amazing! That sounds so great. Thank you both again. What do we have going on? We are starting our season five coverage of Dawson's Creek. Obviously, we continue to do Boy Meets World weekly as well. For September, we had Cruel Intentions with Chappelle for bonus content. Such a fun podcast. Check that out. Later in the month, we are welcoming back our friend Karen from Canada to cover Goofy Movie 2 because we did Goofy Movie 1.
I love Goofy Movie 2.
I love Goofy Movie 1.
Oh,
that's good, but I think Goofy Movie 2 is even better.
No,
well,
I'm sorry.
I love the college years, so we gotta get into Goofy Movie 2.
Oh, wait, is Goofy Movie 2 the Leaning Tower of Cheese?
Well, that's the first one. We already covered that.
Oh, we did? I forgot. We know it's been over.
Jessica, please listen into our Goofy Movie 1 podcast where we can talk about Jessica really loving that.
Leaning Tower of Cheese.
You really liked it, Jess. I promise you. A year plus ago, you loved it.
I'm sure I did.
And then next month is October, so talking about spooky season, I think that we're planning on like three Halloween-y
we're gonna
podcasts.
Try I have a vacation I'm screaming
hey no we're
well,
doing
so.
It
okay Whoa. We're okay, doing it sorry. Jesus Christ
sorry the Jersey accent started coming out that
we're
only
doing
comes
it.
Out that doesn't come out often but it comes
her
out.
Inner George Steinbrenner came out
So we are doing it. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, www.shit90spod.com. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
You can find me at the Jess Sterling. Of course, I'm also covering Community over on Community Building with Josh Wigler. We are wrapping up season three very shortly, which is exciting news for us. I'm also covering the new Hulu show called Reboot. The first three episodes just dropped. It's basically all about a sitcom that is going to get rebooted on Hulu. It's very
oh that looks
fun.
Good I saw oh. an ad for that looks
I've
good.
watched the first three episodes. They're really funny. I highly recommend it. Keegan-Michael Key is in it. Judy Greer is in it. Johnny Knoxville is in it, which feels like
he's so cool. Johnny Knoxville. Yeah,
Rachel Bloom is in it. It's really fun. It's very quick as well. They're like 25 minute episodes on Hulu. So I'm covering that show with Adam H over on Post Show Recap. So check that out as well in our Binge Show Recaps feed. I think that's all I have going on at the moment.
That's a lot of content between the four of us. Great job, guys.
It's a lot going on.
And everyone is expected to listen to all of it.
All of it.
Yeah, listen to everything. Yeah. Exactly.
And if you don't, then you're not one of the men.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And you wouldn't want that, would you?
No. And of course, next week, we're coming back with Boy Meets World. We're going to be covering another two episodes, 5 and 6, You Light Up My Union, and They're Killing Us. And we're going to have a special guest on that one as well. This, just assume that every week we're going to have guests because it's our final season and we got to have guests on every week.
Guests over here, guests over there, guests everywhere.
You got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it. So that's next week's content. So yeah, find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. Send in emails, shit90spod@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice. Shit90spod.com. You could do that. You'll find ways to reach out to us. Give us 5-star review because we love those things. We love when people give us.
Only if you're feeling nice.
Only, obviously. We don't want negative reviews. That's rude.
Unless you do a 5-star review, but then you talk shit. That's fine.
Oh, talk shit in your 5-star review. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, like, that's these girls are fucking crazy. Like, yes, obviously. Nice to meet you. That's all we have. Thank you guys so much for coming back on for our final season of Boy Meets World. We had so much fun.
Of course. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good one, everybody. Bye. Yeah.
Just ask. Shit90Shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.